Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see everybody here today. During fair week, you just never know what kind of crowd we're going to have. And we know that our young people and families are out there this week with their projects and been hearing some good stories already. But we are so glad that you're here to worship with us today. And a little bit later on, we're going to be talking about tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. And so that question, what is the best thing you have ever tasted? I'll ask that later on. But as we begin, let's stand together and join and sing our Gloria Patria this morning. Join together for our call to worship in the bulletin this morning. Come, let us worship the Lord. Let us bless God at all times. As we sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, let us taste and see how good God is. Well, let's join together there. We're going to sing our first hymn there, 454. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, this morning. All four verses. All four, yeah.
I only have three.
You only have three? Okay, maybe I added a different one in. So, yes, and that's off a little bit. You're going to have some trouble reading. Sometimes missing's a deepest clue. Sometimes where Eden's flowers blew. By waters calm or troubled sea, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me. By His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. Lord, I would clasp Thy hand in mine, nor evermore or repine. My task on earth is done, when by Thy grace the victory's won. Even death's cold way I will not flee, still God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hands He leadeth me. Well, I apologize about that, but that's one of those things where the internet has more verses than our hymn book does. So, and I'm looking at the next one here, and we're going to probably run into some problems there too. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then I'll see if I can get that fixed for you, or you can just turn in your hymn books. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father of lights, source of all good things, shine in us and through us today. As we turn our faces towards You in worship, may our eyes blink at Your brilliance, our heart beat at Your beauty, and our lives reflect Your radiance, we pray. Amen. And now you can turn, you can go ahead and be seated, and you can turn to 586, and I would encourage you to do that as we sing our next hymn there, and you can be seated this morning. And let's sing Trust and Obey, all four verses there. And as you can see, it's off again. But we're going to go ahead, and you can play, and I will... Oh, I lose that every time I go... Go ahead, you can start playing. Lord, in the light of His word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh or a tear, can remain when we trust and obey. Trust and obey,
For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, a grief or a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust. Sing that refrain again. Trust and obey. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Sorry about that. I'll just make sure it's fixed the next time. So I guess we'll go ahead. I think Garrett's our only one this morning.
How you doing, bud? Are you going out to the fair in a little while? You look like you know you got your boots on. Sweatshirt, you look like you're ready to go out to the fair. So you haven't been out at all this week yet, huh? No, guess what? I haven't been out either. I plan on going over the next 2 days on Monday and Tuesday when most of all the kids are showing those days, so to see what their projects are and everything. Yeah, so let's look at this. Taste and see how good the Lord is. What is your favorite thing you've ever tasted? And you can't say dirt. Have you ever tried dirt? Or are you going to answer that question? I was going to say, when I was about your age or younger, I tried dirt too. Yeah. I think we all have. Yep, and my daughter, I remember my daughter was beating up worms, and yeah, so. Okay, so what is the best tasting thing you ever had? What do you think? Ice cream? Chocolate? Some kind of cookie? Steak? Vegetables? Whoa! Man! You are a healthy boy right there. Yeah, I've had some good things at times. The ladies a couple months ago went down to La Media, and I don't know if they still have those, but they had the sweet potato casserole that is one of the best tasting things I've ever had in years. They still have that? Oh, gosh. I think we always went back and got seconds on that when we went down there years ago with Jimmy's parents. But yeah. So if you taste something that you really like, it's just like, oh, that's so good. Yummy, yummy, yummy. Okay, what is your favorite vegetable? Oh, okay. So we're going to make a little correction. Your favorite is fruit, because it's strawberries that he likes the best. There you go. Strawberries are good, aren't they? Yeah, they're some of my favorites. They're some of my favorites. And fresh pineapple. When I had fresh pineapple in Hawaii, that was some of the best I ever had before. So that's, it's like, I want more. I want more. Guess what? The psalmist is saying that we can go, I want more with God. Now, we don't eat God, do we? No. But we, you know what that word taste means? Well, it's a little different than what we think. So we can say, I tasted strawberries and they're my favorite. Or you can say, I've experienced strawberries and they're the best. And that's what that means. It means we've experienced God. Something special about God that's touched us in some way. Whether that's God helping us in a situation that gave us confidence or faith or strength, or we weren't afraid because God was with us. And that's what I think the psalmist is talking about. And the psalmist is talking about that you can check out God anytime you want to because God is good. And that's what that talks about there. So you find out for yourself that God is good. I have to find out. We have to find out that God is good and is there for us. Okay? All right. I think you are going down this morning.
Have a good time, Garrett. And maybe you have a joy or concern that you would like to share this morning before we go to prayer. And we're going to let you have a chance to do that. So somebody this morning, yes. Several unspoken this morning. Somebody else, yes. Oh, I'm trying to remember. Was she still in this month's calendar? I know. I was trying to remember if she was. Did we ever put her on there? I think we did. I'm trying to remember. It's still on there. But check and see. Make sure. So if not, well, I want to get that to put her back on. Definitely want to keep Linda in our prayers, just battling that cancer. And somebody else. Yes.
Yeah, our normal one's Mary Jo. And then I called Bill Wilkins to check on them. And he's still having trouble healing. And he had some things he needed to do up there. So he was hoping and praying that he could go out there. But I started
Yes. Yes, and thank you for sharing that. Because sometimes I remember who we prayed for in previous weeks, and then sometimes when there's so many at times, I kind of forget. So I appreciate you sharing that about some of the answers to prayers that we've received, and that's a blessing. Somebody else? Anybody else this morning? Oh, yep.
That Xavier from Chip City, I'm pretty sure he came home, so he's improved, which is great.
Yes. And we want to continue lifting up Esther. And she's got a long way to go yet.
She does. I saw her yesterday and wished that to visit about 5 or 10 minutes. That was it. And she just can't speak quickly at all.
Yeah. Okay. Definitely want to keep Esther in our prayers and for healing and recovery there.
And he said thanks for all the prayers, of course, for her. And hello.
Okay. Butch says hi and thank you for the prayers for Esther. When did she come home?
She came on Wednesday.
Wednesday. And he's kind of being her full-time caregiver. That's going to, we need to pray for Butch too, for strength, because that's not easy doing that. So And yeah, somebody else this morning. Yeah, Jim.
Lisa Wells, she had a heart attack a few days ago. She is now at home, but this girl's 35 years old. I mean,
oh my gosh.
She had COVID, so.
Okay, definitely want to, you said Lisa, right?
Lisa.
Yes, so we definitely want to keep Lisa in our prayers. And yes, and for recovery there and healing. I appreciate your prayers for my brother Harry. That's different than my brother Mike that we've been praying for on and off for years with his heart. We got a text, my sister and I did this past week, that Harry's got some kind of an irregular beat and something going on there. And he said if it doesn't get better, that they may have to do an ablation, which some of you know, and we've had a few people here from the church that's had that done. But I appreciate your prayers for him with this arrhythmia, or exactly what is going on there. And so anybody else before we go to prayer this morning? Yes, AP.
So remember my uncle Greg, he's in California. I was just out there a couple weekends ago, and he had two daughters, and the one was 35 years old, was tragically just died. They don't know what caused it, they're guessing perhaps heart. But I was out there at their funeral a couple weeks ago. It's still a very raw emotion with the family, and so just lift up my prayers. Greg and his family.
Yes, definitely want to keep Greg in our prayers. And yeah, that's a very emotional, tough situation, definitely. And for his, yeah, so. Anybody else then? Anybody else? All right, so we have several names there that have been mentioned today that we want to lift up. And then maybe if there's another special need on your heart today that you would like to lift up, you can do that while she plays, and then I'll come and close us out. Lord, as we've gathered together in this place, we thank you, Jesus, that you are here with us in our midst. And we do acknowledge you today as Master and Savior, Prince of Peace. And Lord, there's some that have been mentioned today that are in need of your touch. Some of them facing some very serious situations today. Lord, we think about Linda and what this test of results and the cancer that we've been praying for quite a while. God, we ask for your healing touch for her today. For Mary Jo, as we've continued to lift her up to you, for your touch. For Bill, Lord, for healing for that wound, God. And Lord, we pray for Xavier and thank you that he is doing better, but we ask your continued touch upon him. And for Esther, God, who needs a real touch of healing and strength today for her. And for Butch, Lord, that's going to be caregiving for her, God, and for strength for him and wisdom and guidance there. And for Lisa, Lord, that had this heart attack, and God, we just ask for your healing touch and your strength for her, that you would touch her, Lord. For Greg today with the situation with his family and daughter, God, and We just pray for your strength and faith and wisdom today. We're thankful for that. Pray for Harry, God, today with this irregular beat or extra beat or whatever it was. Lord, we just pray for your healing touch there upon his body and his heart today, that you'll give him strength and be with him. We pray for these unspoken needs that were mentioned, and maybe there's others that were not mentioned today, but Lord, you know what they are. We just ask that you would meet that need today. Extend your grace and your love and your care in the midst of those. Thank you that the Apostle Paul told us that you are the one who supplies all of our needs according to your riches and glory. And so we ask that you would meet the needs of those mentioned. Lord, we pray for some of our folks today that are traveling and out of town this weekend, God, that you'll just watch over them and be with them and give them traveling mercies as they come back. And we also continue to think about our families and the young people, Lord, at the fair this week. And thank you for the blessings that we've already begun to hear from the hard work of our young people and what they've done and accomplished. And we just ask that you would continue to watch over them and us, and the entire, all of them that are out there this week from Miami County, and keep them safe and give them your blessing, we pray. And we thank you for that. And Lord, we just thank you for your touch and your continued presence and strength with those on our monthly list. Some of them are battling cancers and going through treatments. Others are facing illnesses that are long-term and need your healing touch and strength and faith and grace today. We just ask that you would extend that to each of them, we pray, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for that. We continue to ask for your wisdom and guidance for all of the leaders of our nation and state and local settings. And God, that you'll continue to be with all of them, and that they will be able to make wise and just decisions, Lord, as we face situations around the world. And we continue to pray for peace that's going on, the situation with Israel and the Middle East and with Russia and Ukraine, God, we, and other places that maybe we just don't hear about as much. God, we pray for peace and shalom and a ceasing of conflicts and resolutions to come about, that lives will be saved and spared, and so many different things, God. If there'll be a way that they can bring resolution to these conflicts, Lord, and we're grateful and thankful for that today. Continue to speak to us and minister to us during the rest of our service. Thank you for your love and your faithfulness and your goodness in our lives every day. And we ask that you would extend that as we have come into your house today and give you thanks for all of these things, as we ask it now in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Amen. Thank you for praying with us this morning. I know that makes a difference in people's lives, as they were sharing, Sue was sharing earlier about some of the answers to our prayers. Well, we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving, and thank you for your faithfulness And it's your faithfulness that allows us to continue the ministry here and reach out and be a blessing. So as our ushers come today, God bless you as you give. Let's join together there for our dedication in the bulletin. Lord, we bring our gifts to you. Make them a source of your abundant love in the lives we touch through mission and ministry in your name. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Thank you, Linda. I just want to say she's willing to graciously fill in as Brad and Carla took their grandkids on the lake over the weekend here before, down in Kentucky, before they start back to school. And also, I didn't mention this, but I want to thank the decorating committee. Sometimes I do this, sometimes I don't, you know, but I love the sunflowers up here on the communion table, and those are always a favorite of mine. And I know they're always a favorite of Jody's. And I thought I would just share that real quick because I thought about it last week and then it slipped my mind. But I just wanted to share that. We're looking at Psalm 34 today, which is our lectionary reading. The lectionary reading is just verses 1-8, but I added in some extras there because of some things I want to talk about in those verses there beyond. So Psalm 34, verses 1-14. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will always be in my mouth. I will praise the Lord. Let the suffering listen and rejoice. Magnify the Lord with me. Together, let us lift his name up high. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to God will shine. Their faces are never ashamed. This suffering person cried out. The Lord listened and saved him from every trouble. On every side, the Lord's messenger protects those who honor God, and he delivers them. Taste and see how good the Lord is. The one who takes refuge in him is truly happy. You who are the Lord's holy ones, honor him, because those who honor him don't lack a thing. Even strong young lions go without and get hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, children, listen to me. Let me teach you how to honor the Lord. Do you love life? Do you relish the chance to enjoy good things? Then you must keep your tongue from evil and keep your lips from speaking lies. Turn away from evil, do good, seek peace, and go after it. That is God's word for us this morning. And I pray that God would add his blessing to the reading of the word this morning, and that the Spirit would give us ears to hear what God wants to say to us this morning. Okay, so I shared a few of those corny Olympic jokes a couple weeks ago, and I thought since this is the closing ceremony day and everything, I thought I would share a couple more of them. And here's the first one. Why did the Easter Bunny join the Olympics? Because he heard that first place gets 24 carats. Why does Cinderella never win the Olympics? She has a pumpkin for a coach and runs away from the ball. And here's the last one. Why was the hurdle race so emotional? The athletes couldn't get over it. Oh, I know. Those are the corny dad jokes, aren't they? Some of them are still funny, though. Taste and see. So let me ask you now, like I did Garrett, what is the best thing you've ever tasted? And you know what? I'm going to take a second, and if you want to shout it out, go for it. Come on, let's see who's brave. What is the best thing you've ever tasted before?
Ice cream.
Okay, some kind of ice cream. Okay, yes. Somebody else?
Tomatoes.
Wow. What's that? Oh, the cherry tomatoes. Oh, interesting. Interesting. Somebody else? Yeah, the pizza with the right ingredients. You know what? I have to say, probably because when I was growing up and we used to get it at Meyer's Tavern or Kettlersville or whatever, that old style greasy, bar pizza was some of the best I've ever had through the years. And yes, what else?
Bologna.
What?
Bologna.
Bologna? Well, I'll tell you what, I've had a good fried bologna, and I've even had, it was about 3/4 of an inch thick, smoked bologna sandwich on some like Texas toast that was grilled. Very good. Now, I have to mention this. When we were in Savannah, Georgia years ago, we went to Paula Deen's restaurant, and she had some good stuff on there. Some chicken and noodles, and if you've ever been to one of the Amish restaurants, Der Dutchman, over there on 71, and they used to have one that was south of Mansfield, but I think they closed that one down. I don't think that's open anymore, but man, they had just some great food and some of that. And it just, you know, if you've ever had something that just like causes you to pause for a moment and just take it in and enjoy it for a moment, you know, instead of us eating like dogs, which we do sometimes. And don't take that as an insult, but you know what I'm talking about. If you've ever given a dog something, there it is, it's down. I mean, they don't even get a chance to even taste what went in their mouth. And it's, you know, my brother-in-law, their dog just stands there and looks at you while you're sitting at the table and we're eating, you know. And he's like, and it's like he's just, it's almost like he's looking at you drooling. You know, it's got that look on his face. And then as soon as you give it to him, he's like, and it's gone. He didn't even get a chance to enjoy whatever he was drooling about, you know. And it's just probably an instinct and stuff like that. And we have instincts, too, about different things, you know. And as a pastor, I was thinking about this week. As a pastor, I'm aware of the importance of using our senses when we engage God. That's what's so beautiful about the Psalms, because we can lift our hands, we can clap our hands, we can, you know, in one psalm talks about you can dance a little bit, you know, there. And it's all in this like worship thing. We can bow down. I mean, there's different things. And then when there's scriptures that talk about, like Isaiah, I think it's 6, I saw the Lord in this vision, and he was high and lifted up, and his robe was so long it just filled the temple, and his glory shone all around. So our seeing, so we got you movement of our hands and what we can feel and seeing things, what we hear. Hearing's probably the most common thing that we think of when we're in a service. We hear the piano, we hear the organ, we hear the orchestra music, you know, we sing along, we worship, we pray. Sometimes you can hear the person next to you singing or praying, which is a beautiful, motivating thing. In the context. And then when we hear the word read and the sermon, you know, all of that. But tasting, I was thinking about that a little bit. And the only thing I could think of, one of the simplest and easiest way that we do incorporate tasting, so to speak, in worship is communion. And Jesus, metaphorically speaking there in John chapter 6 there, and one of the other chapters in John, talks about eating of him, you know, and it's talking about the bread and the drink and all of those things there. And our psalm reading today invites us then to taste how the Lord is good, or how good the Lord is. And taste is not an easy thing to describe unless you've done it. But in this case, the Hebrew word means to experience God. So the psalmist is saying, hey, come and experience God. And for the Israelites, that was surely come and experience God in worship, or in prayer, or when you're driving in your car, or when you're walking in the woods, or taking a drive, or in so many different ways, you know, that we can experience God. And, well, let me give you an example of this, how taste needs to be experienced, so to speak. So let me share some words with you. Skim milk, milk fat, palm oil, lactose, egg whites, soy lecithin, and artificial flavorings. Does that sound edible? Does that sound tasty? What if I tell you that that is a Snickers bar? Ah, then it's different, isn't it? Oh, yeah, I've had Snickers bars, you know, or a Snicker Blizzard. You know, that's different. Certain things need to be experienced versus just heard. And we can hear about God. And Paul says faith comes by hearing the word of God, which is definitely true. But there's something about experience. And the good old Wesleyan, Methodist, Pentecostal side of holy, I mean, that all comes from that Wesleyan side. Their experience was a hands-on aspect of their faith and Christianity through the centuries. You can go back and read some of Wesley's writings and some of the other church people, the preachers and the different ones through the centuries. And one thing, though, that the psalmist seems to talk about over and over again in our psalm today is that we can experience God's goodness. So Psalm 34, as we're thinking about that today, helps us with a deeper awareness of God's goodness. And so I want to talk to you for a moment about that. And I'm going to begin by saying, I'm going to put it in this taste and see sentence here. Taste and see, first of all, that God is good. And if you already answered it when you were looking at the sermon outline, I wouldn't be surprised at all. But one of the things that jumped out at me as I was reading through this is that it's this. We shine when we experience God's goodness. Now think about that. I mean, every time you've had an answer to your prayers, and you may have shared that answer to prayer in as a joy in the service, I've never seen anybody in all the years that I've pastored, well, God really answered my prayer this week. No, there's a smile on your face. There's a light shining off of you when you've experienced that. And you're telling that in the church service. Because we shine when we experience God's goodness in our lives. The psalmist says there, my life exalts itself in you, Lord. The psalmist is excited. As you read the beginning part of the psalm, the psalmist is excited, and she is so excited that they're calling on everybody, including the powerless and the afflicted. In our translation, it said the suffering. That's another thing that kind of jumped out at me as I was reading this psalm this week. Because usually when we're afflicted, when we're suffering, when we're struggling, that's when we don't always shine or we don't think about God's goodness. But the psalmist is saying, hey, all of you, come on, let's celebrate the Lord, even the ones that are struggling and hurting right now. Let's exalt God's name together. And why? The psalmist tells us in a few verses. When the psalmist sought God's guidance and protection and strength, God rescued the psalmist. Now, our translation says, all my fears. But the word there in Hebrew is not the normal word we think of for fear. It means the terrors of life. The things that really scare us and overwhelm us. And the psalmist says, God rescued me from life's terrors. Have you ever experienced that? And as a result, the psalmist says, my face shined. I had a radiant face because of what God did for me. And it gave the psalmist confidence as opposed to my head hanging low because I've overwhelmed. Now, we all get overwhelmed, don't we? We all face days when it's not easy at all. And we're just trying to make it through that day. But something has happened here in this psalm that just struck me and thought, wow, God, you are able to make our faces shine in the midst of our struggles so that we have confidence and we trust in you. And not only that, but the psalmist talks about how God gives us every good thing. It's all over this psalm. And James talks about that. James says, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. And we have those things. All are invited to experience God in the depths of their being. Because that word taste, as I said, is to experience God. And then the word for see means that in the depths of our being, we are able to receive what God has and trust in God. Trust that God is near, that God is good. Because the psalmist says, for those who seek or take refuge in the Lord, we're not going to be disappointed. What an invitation. Like Moses in Exodus 33, who was brave enough and bold enough to pray those words, God, show me your glory. God wasn't mad. God said, okay, Moses, I'm going to show you just the backside of my glory, a smidgen, a snippet of it. But you got to hide in this rock, behind this rock right here, and then I'll pass by you. And a little bit later on in the story, we're told that when Moses came down, because this was up on Mount Sinai, when he came down, the children of Israel couldn't look at his face because it was shining so brightly. And they had to put a veil over Moses' face. It's interesting that Paul in 2 Corinthians talks about how in Christ Jesus, that veil that was over Moses' face is gone. Because God wants the light to shine off of us to others. God will give us what we ultimately need, but God will not give us what will ultimately harm us. Only what is good for us. And so, you know, in my thinking, I think, well, if God hasn't answered my prayer about something, then maybe it's not what God ultimately has good for me in my life. And thankfully, God knows the difference, what is best for us in our lives. Wow, God is the ultimate answer for the good in our lives. Second thing that I see is not only taste and see God is good, but taste and see the good life. Because throughout this psalm, it talks about the good life. The psalmist equates the good life with tasting God's goodness, experiencing God's goodness, knowing deep in our hearts and trusting God, but also with honoring God throughout our lives. And honoring God in our translation this morning is that phrase that you read often in the Proverbs and a few places in the Psalms where it talks about the fear of the Lord. Now, a lot of our modern translations translate that different because we have these negative connotations about fear. But the idea is revering the Lord or holding God in awe in our lives. And so, as you can see there on the outline, that part of honoring God is using our words wisely. Now, when I first was looking at this, I thought, man, isn't that so true? If I try to teach Chase this all the time. And when I have the chance, I do it. I said, Chase, if you treat people in wrong ways with your words, they're not, number one, they're not going to want to be your friends. Number two, they ain't going to want to be around you. And number three, if they're your boss, they don't want to promote you or give you a raise or do anything else. So I was trying to teach him just practicality of life. I said, it's good to know your teachers. It's good to know your college professors. Because about 40% of what a college professor grades is very boom, boom, boom. And the other 60 to 70% is an objection. It's more objective on their part when they're giving you that grade. And I said, if you know them and talk to them and everything else and are friendly with them, I said, that makes a difference in the world. It's just practicality. We don't need to make everybody angry at us all the time. And wisdom reminds us that what we say and how we say it is closely linked with the good life. When we went through the book of Proverbs, I talked about that. That's why guarding what we say is so important. And what we say can either bring life or blessing, as Moses said, or can cause us misery, trouble, or even death in some cases. And part of honoring God so that we can enjoy a good life is using our words wisely. wisely. Hang on a minute here. I lost my thing. And then part of honoring God is making peace a priority. So again, wise, edifying, encouraging, friendly, blessing words that we share with others goes hand in hand with living in peace. Peter tells us, of all you do, live at peace with one another. Paul says the same thing. Not only live at peace with one another in the community of faith, but he says with all human beings that you're around. And here it says, seek after it. Go after it. The same Hebrew word that we are familiar with from the 23rd Psalm that says, I'm going to read the old King James, surely goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. That word follow means that they will, that the God's mercy and goodness and all that will chase us down. And that's the same word that's used here when the psalmist says, chase down peace. Make it a priority. Make it a part of your life. Peace, harmony, well-being, wholeness, absence of hostility, shalom. And here we are encouraged to chase after it. Why? Because of what the psalmist says throughout those verses and even into the latter part of the chapter. So that God can bring good into our lives and use us for good for others. Here's the thing. No matter how good a life we live in this world, it's never perfectly good, is it? And we're never perfectly good. Even Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, when he was talking to the religious leaders, no one is good except God. No matter how hard we try, because of sin, we are never perfectly good or live a perfectly good life. That's why we have struggles. That's why we have trials. That's why life throws everything at us at times. But the only one who did live a perfectly good life was Jesus. And guess what? The good news today is he offers us his good life when we trust in him. Taste and see how God is good by honoring God. And God will cause us good and use us for good every day. Taste and see. Amen. Amen. Well, let's just take a moment or two and greet one another and share the blessing. And then we'll close out by singing our familiar chorus, God is so good. Well, we're going to close out with our final hymn there, 116.
as soon as we get our pianist back there. And we're going to sing God is So Good. As we close out, we'll sing all four verses there. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He's so good to me. He cares for me. He cares for me. He cares for me. He's so good to me. I love him so. I love him so. I love him so. He's so good to me. Well, let's join together there for our benediction. Go in gratitude, relying on the goodness of God. And now may the God who forms us, the Christ who holds us, and the Spirit who gives us life bless us with peace and purpose each and every day. Amen.